Blog Talk Radio.
So far, and hope everybody's looking forward to a really good weekend after. So that's what I can say about that. Got the befores and the afters here, and it's good to have everyone here. And hello, Rex, welcome to the party.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Yeah. So how are you?
I'm just fine. How about you?
If I was any better, I'd be twins, you know. That's my standard. Out of trouble. Yeah, it gets me into it. It all depends. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. It was a pretty decent week. How was yours?
Good. Weather's been good. But today was windy and chilly.
Yeah, I was going to say, I bet you had better days weather-wise than we did. We have 2 days where it rained, nasty rain, like cold and... Came down pretty well, too. I mean, it wasn't just like a sprinkle or anything like that. Last night we had thunderstorms, like, I don't know, anywhere between 8 and midnight. It was really raising some cane out there. I was like, okay, you know. But it's all right. April showers bring May flowers, they say. I'll take it. But our temperatures have been a little lower. Like, I think our highest was like 60. 58, 59, 60 are our big high temperatures for the week. But that's okay. I'll take them.
Hey,
for sure.
The alternative.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sure beats snow and ice. Yep, yep. But, yeah, so, I don't know. We got a pretty full board out there tonight, Rex.
Absolutely. Sure.
Yeah, carryover suit. What's that? I hear what you say. TGIVF. Thank God it be Friday. I got it. Hi, Rick. Yes. Ah, so my goodness gracious. I don't know. We might get through a chunk of these tonight. I would hope, anyhow. Anywho's how. Quite a few. I'm not too sure where to even begin. But we'll figure it out, I guess. So anyway, I guess there's nothing else real exciting in my life or in my week even. My week has just been kind of like, yeah, here we go. You know, what do you think? But what do you got to do?
Kind of like that song, Can't Find My Way Back Home.
Yeah, there you go. See, I'm living that dream. Yeah, a little lost. Yep, next week it'll be Dazed and Confused.
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then we'll be hitting in the summertime.
There you go. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, usually when I get an intro song on this, I usually just kind of leave it. But sometimes I feel like, well, maybe I should change it. You know, it's all about how it just kind of strikes me and it starts off. This one I can manage with for a little while, that's for sure. Oh, my goodness. I'm not like having, like, the sniffles. It's not really the sniffles, but, you know, it's close enough. Yeah, so I don't know. There's not, just really nothing exciting happening. Just doing what we got to do. We have a new show starting next Wednesday. I think everybody heard about. And that's going to be Keeping It Brief. And that's at 1 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon. And that is put out by, well, it's Late Night Poets presents Keeping It Brief by the Poetry Writers Group. So that'll be nice. That'll be real nice to, you know, hear, hear their
will
work.
Will they be keeping it brief in their brief?
I don't know. That I don't know. I'm not asking. but they surely have. They have a lot to offer. You know, brevities are. Brevities can be so much fun. You know, it takes a lot of them to fill in the time span, but you know, they're good writes. You know, I figure anybody who can say so much in so little—that's a big plus in my book. You know, it's not always easy to do. But, yeah, so that's our next Wednesday thing. And I don't think we have anything new between now and then, do we? I don't think so. The only thing we got new between now and our room backgrounds, that's about it. And that's just because they look pretty. Yeah, that works. Pretty is maybe not the right word for it, but they look good. We're looking a little cohesive these days. Don't anybody worry, though. It's bound to have a little earthquake hit us, and now it won't be working anymore. It's just the way it goes.
Yeah. Don't wish for that which you actually don't want to receive.
Oh, God. Well, yeah, but anytime I speak the opposite, that's when it really sneaks up and bites me. Always. So I don't know, Rex, it's you and me. You think maybe we should get this party started? We got a whole bunch of poems.
Show enough.
We could, because like I think if not, you know, we'll have a whole lot of carryovers. And we're pretty good at that. I'm good at that. I always carry something over. So, okay, I'm going to have you start us off with this one lone piece by a fella. At least I believe he's a fella. And this is a carryover from
The Cursed Girl in Love with the Moon by D.K. Mason. What time are you coming out? It's 11:45, and we're already losing light. You know we were not supposed to be together. You're my curse, and I'm a wolf. We're supposed to hate each other, but I feel like I love you. I know I'll never make it through the night if you wander off your light. Don't you hear me howling? I'm howling for you. I know you felt me too. Last night when you covered me, I thought I was falling. Can you feel me? Baby, I'm rubbing on you. I claim all of you. And on this night, in this light, I want you. I want all of you. Maybe you can change me back.
Well, that was a nice piece, D.K. Mason. It was just very well done. Great take on that prompt. That prompt was, you know, I thought the prompt was really good. You know, the wolf in me, you know, greets the full moon in you. I know it's not a feat. Honors the full moon in you. That was a nice prompt. And I think that this is, in its own way, that they've accomplished that plan. And it was just nicely written. Don't you hear me howling? I'm howling for you. I know you felt me, too. Last night when you covered me, I thought I was falling. Can you feel me? You know, yeah, I think that was, you know, nicely sensual, nicely done. Just a great piece all the way around. So thank you, DK.
Absolutely. And it hits on that note of, well, been in love, you know, the warring families. They're not supposed to even be in the same vicinity, let alone the same arena together, alone. But I like that thought. You're my curse, and I'm a wolf. We're supposed to hate each other, but I feel like I love you. I know I'll never make it through the night if you wander off your life. The good and the bad, the co-mingling of essences, which is the idea behind this, especially with that touch of sensuality that you hit on, I'm rubbing on you, I claim all of you, and on this night, in this light, I want you, I want all of you. Maybe you can change me back, that essence of, maybe we can make things all right between everything.
Let's turn it around a little. Absolutely. I think we have Martha on the line. So let me pick up this phone. Hello, area code 443. Who's calling, please?
This is Martha.
Hello, Martha.
Hi, Martha.
Hi.
Good to have you. Did you happen to hear that last read?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I liked the story of it and the message. I thought it was really well written.
Nice. Nice, Martha. Okay, Rex.
Yes.
I guess you're going to turn it back to me now, right? I'll just play.
Oh, okay. Yes, Jean, wait, I'm going to write back to you. That's
yeah.
Right.
Oh, my God. You know, sometimes I can't help myself. I just have to be a fool like that. Let me see now. I'm going to put this next one up. This one is by Garden Delights. And I have an audio for that. So let me hit the button.
Coming home. In summer's shadow, morning curled around a mist-filled island.
Mm-hmm.
A sleepy siren stretched to awaken, perched on her silver sail.
Okay, tell me about that. Seems a little familiar to me. What do you think?
Yeah,
okay.
I think that was it.
Yeah, didn't we have one like this last week?
Yeah, this is the same one. I don't know how I did it, but I sure as hell did it. So, I guess we have to read this part, this piece by Garden Delights. Oh, too funny. Okay. Let me pull my head together. Okay, this is called The Dreamer by Garden Delight. Head tilting, pixie-like, framing a winsome look, having clothed herself in trailing orchids, their lovely lilac fragrance saturating the hair. White fluffy clouds of dreamings floating across the rivers of her mind, scattering glittering dust particles in their wake. Imagination takes off. She pictures oceans ideal for catamaran sailing, frost-tipped waves pressed over the bow. Scattered drops sparkled before a brilliant sun. Prisms of radiant color shimmered down on her. Café au lait skin warms under soul's intensity. Next, she ventures into Babylon's hanging gardens. Exquisite flowering vines climb up high trellises. Solid molten gold statues are polished to a sheen. The oversized Tower of Babel truly dwarfing all else. Her reverie ends, eyes flicking open. She looks around, seeing the present-day forest. Rising, she determines to discover real adventures every day, from now until forever. End poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. And Martha, why don't we start with you, please?
I really like this. I think the images and the pictures it brings to your mind are just beautiful, and the story of Babel and all that, and especially the part at the end where she decides to not just be a dreamer, but seek out the real thing.
Nice. Thank you very much, Martha. Jean, you got to read that. How about you?
I thought it was a wonderful piece. I thought it had great imagery throughout. And, you know, I liked that touch of the, I like the take on the fairy, you know, that image of the fairy sitting in the forest, you know. I thought it was just a beautiful image, and I think she really captured that well. It was nicely written and nicely described throughout. Enjoyable. Very much.
It really was. That first stanza really hits the picture out, especially the lovely lilac fragrance saturating thick air, the trailing orchids. That was lovely. And the second one kind of put in that nice note of winsome dreaming. Then she went with a different role, running down the Babylon's hanging gardens, the implication being that this pixie, this fairy, has been around long enough to see that which the world once offered, and now on the back end, after thinking about seeing those things, there is the notion of wanting to see more every single day, like she says, from now until forever, but knowing that she's going to be around long enough to see things rise and to see things fall.
Nice comment, Rex.
And we're back your way.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, Ms. Martha, I have one for you.
Okay.
And I'm going to put this one up, and it's by Mamiya.
This Deplorable Sam by Mamiya. Movies often show us that love conquers all, that the only thing to do is for us to just fall. But the silver screen lies. Love is not all peaches and cream. It sometimes makes you sob. It sometimes makes you scream. In anger and in frustration, you find yourself asking, why in the world did you ever ask me to go frolicking? I lost it. What the? Just a minute. Only to leave.
Yeah, right there. It's okay. I just want to make sure you're all right.
Yeah, my computer threw it out. only to leave alone in the woods of loneliness and shame, thinking you would return, but you never came. You had my heart in your dirty little hands, playing with it, tying it up, round and round with rubber bands. Now my heart cannot beat, it cannot even feel. I'm numb in my chest, the sensation is real. Still I love you, I do, even when others say that I have lost my mind. You are to me the light of day. So please, I beg of you, see me for who I am before I finally up and leave all this deplorable sham. And poem.
Great read, Martha. Thank you very much. This was a different touch. Those two opening stanzas do offer up that notion of, hey, you believe what you see on the silver screen, you're definitely in dreamland, and you're in for a hard fall when it does walk off the other side of the cliff, as it always does. And then Raleigh, the thought, in anger and frustration, you find yourself asking, why in the world did you ever ask me to go frolicking? Nice touch of frolicking, yes. And I said, you had my heart in your dirty little hands, playing with it, tying it up, round and round with rubber band, get tied in knots, being run around the bend, only to find out the back end of this, hey, you're not going to come back. This was nothing but a deplorable sham, and I got taken.
Right.
How about you, Jean? Ooh, that was a...
You know, I think it's a great piece, and I think it was a good start there, because as you said, you know, the movies, they tell us all, oh, everything is going to be a wonderful, it's all happily ever after. Yeah, okay. You can keep selling it. I'm not buying. Not anymore. Although, you know, I've had a couple good runs. I thought that was great. But then it gets down into, you know, in anger and in frustration, you find yourself asking, why in the world did you ever ask me to go frolicking? Only to leave alone in the woods of loneliness and shame, thinking you would return, but you never came. And then reality starts to wind down there a little bit and go, ooh. And I thought that Mamiya did that in a great way. I think that her transitions were smooth. They weren't, like, sharp. Didn't have sharp edges when she made these changes into the next concept in the poem, and I thought that was nice. Sometimes it's like walking downstairs, and other times it's just a real smooth glide. And, you know, I like the fact that it was smooth. And then, you know, that last stanza. So please, I beg you, see me for who I am before I finally up and leave all this deplorable sham. You know, just, I thought it was well done. And I think that her take on the prompt was great, too. I just want to mention that. I'll follow you and make a heaven out of hell. And I'll die by the hands I love so well. You know, that was a great quote. And I think she kind of met that nicely. So great job, Christine, and thanks for sharing with us. Mm-hmm.
And Martha, how about you?
I thought it was a great story of someone that loves too much and too hard and can't even let go when it's right in front of her that she's loved the wrong person.
Absolutely. Nice to see you, Maria. Thank you. All right, Jean, the ball is back in your court. Swing.
Did you hear that? I hit it.
No dribbling allowed.
Be good. Not in tennis. Okay, Rex, I have the next one for you. So here we go, and it's coming your way.
Truth lies within my eyes by Incubus too. Look not upon my lips to answer when you in doubt of love must ask. Observe my eyes free of the cancer of lies' tongues speak too fast. Ask me not for proof of intentions in words penned in liar's blood. Let me sight free let my sight free of pretensions. Prove to you my heart is good. Let not the trembling of my lips, nor pale flush of blushing cheeks, but words like poison freely drips, trust the ones that cannot speak. And poem. And Martha, why don't we start with you, please?
I really like this. This is a great message, and I love the way you put it together, and I think it's a really, really good write.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Martha. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I really like this poem by Incubus. It was a great piece for the contest. And I don't know what picture number 6 is, so I'm not going to lie. I don't have them memorized. But I think that it was for the Midsummer's Night Dream. And I think that he really did captured that feeling of Shakespeare. The who, what, hon?
Embrace the thought.
Yeah, you know, and I think that his wording really did touch upon the Shakespeare-type wording, and you could feel it, like, when you were listening, or, you know, reading or listening. I happen to do a lot of listening. And I think that he really, I think that he really did a great job, and I would love to say with the prompt. I have to look for the prompt. But there's a great job with the contest in general. So thank you, Incubus, for writing for us, and have a great night. Oh, here it is. It's the same prompt 6, it said, right? I'll follow you and
out of hell. That picture is prompt. But there's a lot of pictures.
Yeah, but prompt 6 is a quote, so I'm not sure. But that's the same one we just read, too. I have to be safe because I don't know. Prompt 6 is that quote, and I'll follow you and make a heaven out of hell, and I'll die by the hands of I love so well. So, not sure. Don't know where to go there. But, anyway.
Okay. And I stopped the title. Truth Lies Within My Eyes. It's a double whammy of sort there, considering he hits on the angle of in words penned in liar's blood. So he's hit on that sort of, you might not trust the lips and tongue that offer words so sweet, but look deep within my eyes, and there you shall find what you seek. Kind of offers up that notion to the eyes are the mirrors of the soul, and you won't find any lies within the eyes themselves. I like that quote. Nicely done, Incubus.
Nice job. Let me peek. No, we don't have anyone else with us yet, so I guess we'll just read another one. I'm going to put this one up, and I'm going to read this one. And this is called The Merry Wanderer by Kay Heartless. Sweep away the cobwebs, merry wanderer of the night. Sprinkle love's magic juice onto the budding eyelids of youth. Oath for oath. I'll follow you around the bog, sparkling fire and mist of fog, through burning fire. Sometimes a horse, sometimes a hound, up and down and up and down, no remedy to be found. Haughty henchman evermore, mischievous goblin, headless boar, forceful as a flower. He sweeps away the after hours, love's damp decay, the roasted crab is often crass. A jester's jab, droplets of moist vivaciousness, as charming as an ass to kiss. Is he not a witty jack? And every jack will have a Jill. The filly foal through bush shall not go ill. Give me your hands, you pranksters and liars. Everyone let forth his sprite on the black-browed midsummer's night. End poem.
Yeah. Hey, Jean, thank you very much. Martha, what do you think of The Merry Wanderer?
I think it's really good. It reminds me of Shakespeare really well. I think you did a really great job with it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you, Martha. And Jean, you got to read this.
I did. You know, I think that the piece itself, I mean, when I read it, you know, it sang out, you know, Puck to me. And that was her intent. I mean, the image at the top is kind of a clue, but I think the write itself led you down that path to hear, you know, Puck in your ear going, you know, doing his thing. And I think that was really nicely done. I see where she said it was for prompt 12. Prompt 12 is a quote, and it says, if we shadows have offended, think but this and all is mended, that you have but slumbered here while these visions did appear. So that was pretty clever, and I think it was a neat take on that prompt. But, yeah, and a great take, drawing Puck into it. So nicely done. Thank you, Kay Heartless.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, a bit of humor with sometimes a horse, sometimes a hound, up and down and up and down, no remedy to be found. But that next stanza, that third one, was really, it was fun. Horsey henchman evermore, mischievous goblin, headless boar, forceful as a flower, he seeks the way the after hours, loves damp decay, the roasty crab is often crass, a jested jab, droplets of most vivaciousness, as charming as an ass. It's such a nice play of irreverence with that character. It kind of fits with the sort of Puck himself. And then that bit of, is he not a witty jack? And every jack will have his jill. The filly foal through bush shall not go ill. Played out the theme very well. Nicely done, Kay.
Nice comment. Okay. Yogi. I don't see him alone, though. I can't help you with that. He's such a pain in the ass. Okay, here we go. Okay, Martha, I have the next one up for you.
Okay.
And this is by Random Words by Jake. So there we go.
One, two, by Randall Word, Random Words by Jake. One book, two books. I've been reading these past few days. Fiction, sci-fi, and my favorite fantasy. And every book, I'm looking for you. One song, two songs. I can write any song for you. Let the people hear our song. And let me dedicate it to you, only you. One word, two words, it is not enough to describe you. We can spend this lifetime telling you how much you mean to me. 1 second, 2 seconds, I miss you every second of my life. Even if you are just sitting next to me, I just want to be with you always. One universe, two universe, in any universe, I will find you. I will do anything to find you. Because I know everything will be worth it. And poem.
Great read, Martha. Thank you very much. And you just read that prompt 6 about chasing, falling one into hell.
I didn't quite catch what you said, Rex.
Oh, you just read that, I think, that quote from prompt 6, about following someone to hell.
Yes. Let me go grab it. I'll read it again. Do. I'm almost there. Prompt 6. I'll follow you and make a heaven out of hell, and I'll die by the hands I love so well. That was it.
Beep. That was it. And I found the opening to each one of these stanzas was kind of Dr. Seussian, one universe, two universe, 1 second, 2 seconds, one word, two words, one song, two songs, one book, two books.
Yeah.
I had that feel to a Dr. Seuss piece. But everything else kind of filled in that notion of what it is from the books right up top. And and looking for you. And the song, let me dedicate it to you, only for you. And then we can spend this lifetime telling how much you mean to me. That notion of to ever hunt or on the lookout for that which you might have missed at one point in time, and then is now reviewing the point that, hey, that one was a keeper, and I gotta find him again.
Mm-hmm.
And Dean, how about you? What do you think?
Well, you know, I like this piece, and I thought it was a clever concept. I like the repetition of the one and the two at the beginning of each stanza, and I thought it really worked. But I think each stanza really was a standalone brevity, you know, of its own. And I thought that was really nice and well done. So great job, Jake, and thanks for sharing with us all.
Oh. Thank you, Dean. And Martha, you got to read that. How about you?
I really like the different ways that he describes his love and the end where he says, I know everything will be worth it. I think it's really beautifully well done.
Excellent. Thank you very much. All right, Jane.
Okay, well, I want to let you know we have Pam on the line. Pam, did you hear the...
Hi, Dean. Hi, Rex. Hi, Martha. Good to hear you all.
Good to hear you, too. Did you happen to hear the poem?
I did not, but I read through it, and I like what you all had to say, and I like the romantic message of it and how, you know, love is all going to be worth it. I'm really impressed with how it's almost like a parody of the book One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish, with the beginning, which I thought was really cool, you know, that he took the idea from the same kind of repetitive pattern and put it into a different concept, a different message. And I particularly like one word, two words, it is not enough to describe you. We can spend this lifetime telling you how much you mean to me. So wonderful lines there and very well done.
Nice comment. Let me see what I have happening here. Okay, Pam, I have the next one up for you.
Okie dokie.
There we go.
Oh, that's for the witch meeting back door.
And it's by Kay Hartless.
Put me to work right away when I just woke up 10 minutes ago.
That's it. It's time to wake the baby. Move it.
So you did say my name, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay. All right. This is Lunar South by Kay Hartless, and it goes like this. Calmness resides in an arched back, nestled in sprouting grass, a full frontal relax. She is the egg, patient and full of care, waiting for the silverfish that swim in the albumen air and burrow her there. Pale pink spring balls cools the heat of rash. Breath and rhythms regulate, submerged in moon bath. She wants the deep seed, a pita dolce face sitting, love's reflective energy to soothe her hormonal highs. Expose her soft nose in Luna's fleshy thighs. Purge emotional sediment, a rainbow kiss, her white holes flow with bliss. A heavenly body in celebration, earth shine, replacement, and gratitude with such completion. And poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Martha, why don't we start with you, please?
I really liked it. I love the flow of it. And I just thought it was really interesting, all the different ways she said things, and thought it was really good.
Thank you, Martha. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I have to agree. I think there was wonderful imagery in this piece. And it was just very, very well done. I thought it was a great take on, or a great write to the prompt for that Wednesday. You know, again, you know, I'm not sure. I assume that she wrote to this image instead of the quote. And that was fine because I think she did a fabulous job. Just really nicely done, well written. You know, Kay does beautiful work, so it was lovely to have that. So it's all good. All good. So thanks for sharing, Kay.
And again, Dan, you got to read it. What about you?
I really liked this. I thought it was beautiful. It had a nice, delicate sensuality to it. You know, I liked that, you know, it was, you know, about, I looked up the phrase Pitta Dosha, which is the natural energy that the body puts out, or the heat that the body puts out, used for digestion, metabolism, and energy production. I think what was most intriguing about this is that she went in the direction of getting pregnant. The desire to get pregnant and then the completion of it. And there is something very beautiful and sensual about that. And I really like how she describes the woman's body and the woman's inner energy and the need to for that completion, for that meeting of the egg and the seed. So I thought this was beautifully written and very well done.
Great thought there. Yeah, that second stanza is quite the stanza itself. She is the egg, patient and full of care, waiting for the silver fish that swim in albumen air to burrow her there. Pale pink spring balls cools the heat of rash. Breath and rhythms regulate submerged in noon bath. It is a delicate story, and it does, as we say, hit on that notion of pregnancy. Nicely done. Thank you very much, Kay. All right, Jean.
Okay. I'm on my way. Almost. you think I would take faster by now, wouldn't you? Okay. Okay. I'm on my way. Oh, my. And Rex, I have the next one for you.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, that's what I say. Here we go. Whenever you're ready.
Detective at the Scene by Jack Tomkovic. The size of his package. The size of his package? Ladies, do I look like a UPS driver? If it's wrapped in a pink bow and weighs 7 pounds 10 ounces, I still have to write some details. Hair color, glasses, uniform, guard, that stuff. Height, black, white, Latino, tattoos, two, more than two, gang colors, gay, straight, that stuff, and poem. All right, Pam, you get to read all.
Wow, I feel like you tossed that to me like a hot potato. All right. Well, it definitely has some interesting tidbits of humor. I like the play on words. Great read there, by the way, Rex. I like the play on words with the size of his package. And, you know, if it's wrapped in a pink bowl and weighed 7 pounds, 10 ounces, I still have to write some details, you know. I was instantly caught with the title because, you know, I'm such a fan of any crime investigating shows like Law and Order, you know, that immediately grabbed my attention. So you know, the interesting thing about this is it stands on its own, but it could be extended into, you know, more of a story with more interaction between the characters. So really, it's just a nice little, what do you call it? A quick snapshot. I feel like with this poem, I like it and I like what it is. I feel like I'm looking at a black and white noir photo, only who's the guy who played the deputy on the Andy Griffith show, the really dopey looking guy?
Don Knotts.
Yes, thank you. I got this picture of this beautiful woman and Don Knox, black and white, you know, like almost like as if he was playing the detective. So I like the images that this poem brings me. It's very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Martha, how about you?
I like the fact that he took and wrote the whole poem about questions, asking all these questions, and he never came up with one answer. It was all just about the questions he was going to ask. I thought it was really good.
And Jean, how about you?
You know, I liked it. I thought it was clever. I thought it was, you know, quite a bit humorous. And it wasn't very wordy. But it still came off as a detective asking questions, and I thought that was pretty clever. There wasn't a whole lot else going on except that. But it was very obvious, you know, what it was. And, you know, why not? Different, unique. You know, so good for Jack.
It did have a nice rolling effect. The thought with the lady, do I look like a UPS driver? If it's wrapped in a pink bow and weighs 7 pounds, 10 ounces, I kind of jostles the mind into another arena. I still have to write some details. I thought, yeah, you get that. Color of hair, color of eyes, height, weight, tall, fat, skinny, blonde, red, who, and the black, white, Latino, the tattoos. And thought with dropping in two, more than two, gang colors, gay, straight, like that really has a reference point. With the 7 pounds and 10 ounce package to begin with, it's kind of funny. So, and then offering up that stuff as though it's, hey, this is my usual list of questions. This is what they told me to ask every time I come to one of these gigs. So, what do you got for me? Then we can get up. Thank you very much, Jack. That's fun.
And just so you know, we have Naomi with us. So, hello, Naomi.
Nope, not quite Naomi. It's Dexter.
Oh, it's not Naomi.
Oh.
Y'all trying to be
wow.
Now.
Oh,
yeah, we're all using Skype now. I just thought that it was funny that Pam said that it was a story about a package that she thought it could have been extended.
Pam.
Oh, my God.
Smart girl. That's funny. That is funny. Well, right, Dex, I'm so sorry that I referred to you as Naomi. You look nothing like her.
No, it's okay.
Not that I recall, so.
No.
Oh, my God. Funny, Dex. Okay, well, it's good to have you, and I'm glad you commented on that. And I guess I'll read the next one like I was going to. And here we go. This one is by Chris Chassette, and it's called Lunar Impulse. Let me see now. Okay, I can read it at that size. We dined in a dance of crystal syllables, clinking a toast to twilight thresholds, walks on the wild side of sunset spume and lunar lace. So we drove the winding way home, deviating to somnolent woodland, where the full moon shone on, the midnight blue dress hemmed with argentate asters I had shortened for our soiree. A tawny owl, well, now I can't even read owl. A tawny owl hooted, and the darkness cloaked our caresses in a slinky black caftan. as we slipped and slithered across the car seat boundaries unbuttoned, whispers effervescing in a frenzied trottage, fingers slinking across thighs, my decollete spinning from sapphire satin, stroked with panting paws. Oh my God. Shivering swiss, electrified by salivating jaws, hungry claws straining skin in scarlet scores. Sucking, thrusting, we shook the leaves from bulging branches, staked their territory in tidal forces, shying saline. And while our feral whimpers waxed lupine, puncturing tundra, the sylvan wolves hunkered down. End poem. I am so sorry, Cresters, that, God, I feel like I mutilated that. Oh, that's terrible. Hey, Cal.
Dex, why don't we start with you?
I thought you did a good job. That was very, very good vocabulary that she used throughout. I feel like this one was almost like, I think it was Pam that said it last time, but I feel like this one was almost kind of film noir, almost as a poem. I felt like this one was almost like Lover's Lane scenario that you would see, but it had a very, very creative, a very reaching out as far as branching out as far as the vocabulary and the twist that it was. It was very skillfully written.
Yep.
Absolutely, Dex.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this is just, I'm always impressed with Cress Tersette's writing, with her use of imagery. And I have to agree, it does have a very noir feel to it. I like the attention to detail that brings us into the evening. You know, the drive home. So we drive a winding way home, deviating to somnolent woodland where the full moon shone on, and then a tawny owl hooted and the darkness cloaked our caresses in a slinky black caftan. You know, I like that she adds in the use of sound, so we really get into the night. And, you know, I like that this is a couple on their way home, and, you know, they can't even wait to get home. They, you know, I just, and that's part of what adds to the seductiveness of it, is the fact that they can't even wait to get home. Just a wonderful, seductive line, shivering claws electrified by salivating jaws, hungry claws straining skin in scarlet scores. Not only sensual, but just a wonderful use of alliteration. So beautifully written and very well done.
Well, that's
thank
exactly
you.
What it was. She had a wonderful use of alliteration, and my tongue was saying, huh? Alliteration? What is that? That's where my problem is.
I thought you did a great read there, Gene. I did.
I didn't think so. I really did stumble on quite a few lines in different places, and I don't like that. That's never fair to the writer. But it was a beautiful piece, for sure. So, okay, I'm going to shut up.
And Martha, how about you?
I thought it was really good. I liked the use of color and the imagery, and I thought it was beautifully done.
Absolutely. All right, Jean, how about you? You got three.
You know, I thought it was a great piece, and it was a great use of alliteration all the way through. And I think that... you know, Cress Tersette did a fabulous job with the write itself. Another great write to that same image, and I think that it was just well done. And I think that the imagery was good, thoughts within were good. It was a nice sensual piece. It was just wonderful. So, you know, I can't help but say she did a fabulous job with it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
She did set the scene nicely, a somnolent woodland where the full moon shone on, the midnight blue dress hemmed with argentate asters I had shortened for our soiree. Nice touch, hitting on the background of the moon, the black sky, and the silver white stars that a 20-owl hooted, and the darkest cloak that caressed in a slinky black caftan as we slipped and slithered across the car seat's boundaries unbuttoned. Again, setting the scene very nicely. And then it heats up the frenzied portage, the fingers slinking, decolletes spilling from staff by satin, stroke with panting pores. So there's a nice drawn imagery towards the feral wolfine needs in the moment, the lustful dance that must be continued since they started out the evening with crystal syllables clinking a toast to twilight thresholds. Nice opening roll with that. And then that celebration with shying Celine, and then the Sylvan Wolves hunkered down to finish out, offering up that note to the music that soothed the savage breasts, so to speak. What the hell cheese curse got to do with anything, Pam?
Dexter brought cheese curds. You know, if somebody brings up cheese curds, I have to say something.
They're from the Midwest, and they're from Wisconsin. 10 p.m. is a little late for donuts. I'm thinking something side, you know.
Yeah. I personally think donuts are good at any time, but I just had to say something as soon as Dexter brought up cheese curds.
Absolutely. Donuts at 10 o'clock have to hang around until the morning, you know. That's when they're better. Now, pizza can go either way.
Yep. That's right.
Yep. And cheese curds, yeah, they can go either way, Pam. Okay, I guess I better do something, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
The net is clearly on your side of the court.
I missed it. See, I didn't even hit the damn thing this time. Okay, Martha, the next one I have, I'm going to put up for you. And this is by Forgotten Dream. Forgotten Dream. Whenever you are ready.
Transformations by Forgotten Dreams. Her milky body shimmers in the moonlight like jasmine, potent musk filling the air, clinging to the fibers of my clothes, swirling by nose, I inhale. The animal in my chest stirs, eyeing the soft mountains and sloped valleys of her curves, undulating closer like waves crashing, refreshing water, licking toes. Pheromones drive me, her face illuminating the path between us. Clumsy hands follow the glow to stroke silken alabaster skin, humidity swelling as the creature explodes from my goosebumped flesh, surrendering myself to instinct. Lips begin to pucker, and I howl. Boom.
Great read, Martha. And Forgotten took the prompt, the wolf in me honors the full moon in you. Aha. Uh-huh. Is that a hint? Pam, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, I really like this one. I thought it was just beautiful and passionate, right, on the way that I like. Well, to me, it could be taken two ways. Obviously, as a werewolf-type transformation. And you did a wonderful read of that, Martha. Or it could be the way that, the desire transforms us, love transforms us. And I like the sense of movement with the use of the word undulating, sloped valleys of her curves, undulating closer like waves crashing. And then I also like the mention of pheromones, because that right there really shows us that it's a physical reaction. You know, pheromones drive me, her face illuminating the path between us. Just really just wonderful lines throughout. What I also really like is this is all, so much of it is about the watching and the transformation, the desire itself rather than the physical act. So I thought that was just a wonderful write and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Well said, Pam. Thank you. And Dex, how about you?
Yeah, I thought that this was a beautiful write, and I love Martha's reading voice, too, by the way. I thought she did a great read on it. And the I think that I was just picturing this poem like almost on an ocean beach or something at night where you can really see the stars, you know, the Milky Way and things like that that they kind of reference. And I kind of took the transformation almost from the scenery and the setting almost as being like kind of taking the next step, maybe even as lovers or something along those lines. But I thought that it was just a beautiful poem all around. Very well done.
Thank you very much, Dex. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought it was really well written and great imagery, and I thought it was well done. But I have to go along with the lines just below where Pam quoted. I like those too, but since they're already mentioned. Clumsy hands follow the glow to stroke silken alabaster skin, humidity swelling as the creature explodes from my goose-bumped flesh. Surrendering myself to instinct, lips begin to pucker, and I howl. I thought that was just a great last stanza, the last two stanzas, however you want to say it. Three lines to me is not a stanza, but it was just really well done, and I thought it was just put out there in a wonderful way. It's great imagery. So thank you so much, Forgotten Dream. Mm-hmm.
And Martha, you got to read that. How about you?
I really liked it, the imagery, and I thought it grabbed the hold of you right from the start, and it took you on a journey to the end where, to me, it was a surprise ending. That was really good.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you, Martha. I got to agree with Jack. This kind of hits that notion of a scene in a movie, that perfect scene where everything is just spot on right, the moon, the beach, the warm, moist air. And the backdrop is just absolutely gorgeous. And there they stand, and everything in that moment screams climbing. And it moves on in as it should be. Surrendering myself to instinct, just begin to pucker, and I howl. Is that moment of pure bliss? All right, Jean, we're coming back.
Okay. Let me see now. Pam, I'm coming to you, and I have the next one up by Sapphire Rose.
Okay, and this is Ripples of Clarity by Sapphire Rose, and it goes like this. Ignorance is the gravity like ocean tides. It can pull on us under. Lingering doubts ripple along the water's edge, a desperate need for clarity. Placid of mind, opposite of a rippling pond, and thoughts abide. Immersed in indignation, so long ago the truth that once was a paradox, clarified. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And what was it? I just got a note here. For those who confuse you, recognize that their confusion is theirs, and your clarity is yours. And Martha, why don't we start with you, please?
I really like this. It was a great show of ignorance pushed aside by knowledge, and I thought it was really good, really well written, really interesting to read.
Yes, it was. Thank you, Martha. And Dex, how about you?
I really liked it as far as a brevity. I think that a lot of things in life, the universe, cause and effect. So much can be explained in our lives by the just simply dropping a rock into a pond. So it's kind of a profound, I feel like, write for such a brevity. And I've had the same thought. You know, there's different things that can be explained in relationships and everything, just by simply the natural kind of cause and effect. So very well done.
Nice. Thank you very much, X. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought this was a neat piece. I think that all three, well, four of the stanzas were great. And when I looked at it, it's funny because Dex said the ripples when you drop like a rock into the water. And when I looked at it, what I saw was like a whirlpool, you know, that you would see in the water, drawing you under, you know. But, you know, based on the right, I guess it could be either and or, you know, but it says rippling pond and thoughts abide. So, I mean, without clarity, I guess you can be drawn under. And that would be the direction I would take. Definitely a nice piece and a great job there, Sapphire. Really nicely done.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you, Jean. And Pam, you got to read it. What about you?
Yeah, this is actually beautiful brevity, wonderfully thought-provoking. I really like how it reminds us of, you know, like that ignorance is the gravity, the ocean tide that can pull us under. To me, it really speaks about the crowd mentality, the mentality of the masses, and how we really need to oftentimes step away from that crowd mentality and clear our minds and think for ourselves. I really like the message of learning to think for yourself. So excellent write and very well done.
Great. Thank you, everybody. I like that opening stanza. Ignorance is a gravity like ocean tide. It can pull us under. Matches up that picture nicely, the whirlpool of thoughts. And then that last stanza, immersed in indignation so long ago, the truth that once was a paradox. Clarified. That kind of hits on that notion of the previous stanza, placid of mind. Once you calm your mind past the rippling and the rushing of thoughts, you can actually offer up clarity to that which you don't see in the moment, but truth actually does make itself aware once you leave the mind of all the gross that sits within it and think calmly. I see that, Sapphire. Thank you. All right, Jean, we're coming to you.
I keep going.
It's almost halftime.
Is that you making all the racket? That's you, Bill. Is that you making all that noise? I'll beat your butt. Here we go. We'll put the next one up for you to read.
Oh, looks like I've been punted.
Oh, my God.
who do you got in read Dexter. The next one? I'm sorry, I missed it.
Dexter.
All right, I got you.
You, man.
All right, I got you. All right, I got this is Simon Guess of Freedom's Defiance. Upon which darkness do fires burn? Old lords fight amongst themselves within chambers of gold. The red plumped velvet, bring thee vengeance upon secret coffers. Devils quicken hell's heartbeat. Furnace burn bright. It is black by day and red by night. Defiance lives within each heart. Our shields stand strong. Our swords are blessed by the blood of our ancestors. Our spears bring forth a swift death. We are the fires within the darkness. Hark, the drums of our lands. Hark, the pipes of our forefathers. Laying a guarding, a shall forever stand. Comrades may fall, but they shall rise again. The raven sees all. Wolves howl within the moonlight. Singing of freedom and love. A new light must rise. Look upon what is right. Sacrifice all for a dream. What is a dream? A mind at peace is life. It is our freedom. We know what is to come. We are ready. End poem.
Great read, Dex. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, lead us off?
Yeah, great read there, Dexter. I really liked this. I liked that it could have been taking us back to medieval times, or, you know, could be more common. I also thought it could have fit, like, with the idea of the war between Russia and Ukraine. But the mention of the pipes and the drums, I don't know, I guess it kind of has me thinking of bagpipes with Scotland. But it there's to me, I like the general message of the battle cry, that passionate battle cry that comes just before a battle actually starts, and the warriors, you know, going forth and you know, to battle for what is right, and to me, I like that there's a certain kind of like the realization of what they are, and, you know, we are the fires within the darkness, and comrade may fall, but they shall rise again. The ravens see all, wolves howl within the moonlight. I like that he went with the raven and the wolves as kind of like almost like messengers, and I like the use of the word comrade, because it's that realization that when you go into battle together, you are friends, you're family, you watch out for one another. So really, and just a really nice little kind of tidbit of spirituality, and like a new light must rise, look upon what is right, you know, sacrifice all, you know, the idea of, I like it all the way through. Because it has such a wonderful sense of ideals to it, and very well done.
You mean like that scene from Braveheart? Hi, laddies, raise your kilts and salute them, then shoot them the moon.
Exactly.
Martha, how about you?
I really liked it. I liked the imagery and the flow of it. I thought it had a really rousing message in it, and I really enjoyed it.
Excellent. Thank you, Martha. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought it was a great piece. I really enjoyed it very much. And I kind of had that same kind of idea that Pam did. She was talking about bagpipes, but I thought the undernotes of this reminded me of William Wallace. You know, is that, and then last lines. Yeah, it was like, I don't know why it was. I can't say that anything absolutely in that direction. It was just that current, that undercurrent that I heard in this poem. So I don't quite know why, but I liked it. And I liked that last stanza. A mind at peace is life. It is our freedom. We know what is to come, and we are ready. I think that was just well said at the end. That's got that real, like it says, war, defiance, freedom, rebellion, there you go. Who fits it better than Willie Wallace, right? That's the way I see it, I guess. I don't know. But well done, and thank you, Simon, for sharing with us.
Well said, Gene. Thank you. And Dex, you got to read that. How about you?
Freedom! Isn't that what William Wallace screaming? So I think that's where it kind of comes from, huh? The freedom defiance.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that it was... You know, what it kind of came to the realization is, you know, when you look at, you know, these old times, and it definitely had that feel to it of almost kind of the medieval times. It had with it all of the driving themes that have kind of driven mankind, whether it be in poetry or story or literature or just life throughout it, you know, darkness, light, fire, gold. Devil, hell, defiance, shield, sword, blood, ancestors. You know, it just had that so much of our existence and our culture, and I'm talking human culture, you know, and all human beings, so much of all of that is kind of woven into this tale. So very well done.
great comment there, Dex. Thank you very much. And you're right. This does walk age-old times, but it kind of sinks along that note of what we see crossing the world today. That one stands in defiance goes within each heart. Our shields, our swords, blood of our ancestors, spears bring forth the swift death. There's kind of a note of bearing the armor of God in that moment. The thought of fighting good and evil in the moment. That which takes from the land and doesn't deliver back because the people are there for just they're just there as common folk to labor for the larger thought, which chambers all the gold and everything else. And the idea in the back end of this, a mind at peace is life. It is our freedom. We know what is to come. We are ready. There is that kind of thought. There is a change in the wind, so to speak. Something is brewing, and we should be ready for that which comes. All right, Jean, we're coming back to see you.
Okay, Rex. This is back to you. Oh, my God. Rex?
Just came up.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
collections
sorry, I just didn't
of
know if you're...
Scattered Mind by Wichita Rick. Collections of a Scattered Mind. Awoke in daylight, barely on the edge of twilight. Before feet hit the floor, suddenly forced to count the score. Days without sleep, the price now obvious but steep. Began routine while slowly realizing a change has to be made. Too often has been played off bright, blushed part of the bluff. I know now was simply hiding that was truly in store. First signs slowly coming out. So used to vertigo, the floor was tilted, I did not know. Morning mingling, familiar cranium tingling, things come in pieces slowly showing how the body or mind has decayed. Morning motions coming around, unaware as something was lost, the walk in surprise when it is found. Done many times before, at least the countdown not starting from a floor. Flowing moments floating on an edge, felt deeply as if a member of a secret club. Many others searched for hidden clues and wonder if their dues have been paid. Began a checklist while lost in a foggy mist. Reflections come as voids or in triplicate listless and lost. Images mixed like work socks in the top drawer. Views narrow, but as my mind widens, come in bursts of truly hurt, not a major concern as I have learned. Still checking a list for new issues to be displayed. Realize, as I analyze, simple motions become a hard notion. Fishness of time, part of the illness, mind, and body waiting for waters, waiting to come ashore. My mind, like a broken chain, scattered links come together slowly from being strength. As it grows longer, my brain is stronger. Only time ends this mindless charade. Making better connection with what is now a functional collection of my scattered mind, my brain is empty, waiting for the river of knowledge to refill the reservoir. Now aware this day will be played, but on an ever-changing stage, not to regress like taking a familiar test, best to take things light, get out fight, my mind brings down another barricade. And poem.
Nice.
All right, Beck, why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah, I thought that this was a fantastic write. My favorite line in it was images mixed like work socks in the top drawer. I think that it's a very relatable line for a lot of people. Sometimes you don't know where that other sock has gone, but you just keep that sock, that the mismatched one, in there for some reason. The collections of a scattered mind, what I was thinking throughout of it is, having some mental health issues myself, also having dealt with addiction issues, you start to realize the very closeness of it all. that it's difficult to admit to other people what's happening to you. You know, brushed part off of a bluff, simply hiding what was truly in store. It's difficult to admit it, and people are starting to become more open about it, but it's difficult to come out and to quit hiding what's happening to you. And because you sometimes wonder, is this really happening? It's just a fantastic write all the way through, very skillfully done.
Thank you very much, Dex. And Martha, how about you?
I really liked it. I thought it was a good depiction of how your mind can feed you so many thoughts that you hardly know what's coming at you. I thought you did a really good job of it.
Thank you, Martha. Pam, how about you? Oh, Pam. Are you mutating?
I was. I put myself on mute to blow my nose because nobody wanted to hear that.
Oh, I thought you had a handful of cheese curds.
Yeah, right. If I had cheese curds, I'd just be munching them in front of all of you, making my happy cheese curd noises, you know? So. But no, I like this poem. From even the title itself really sets the tone, and I liked what Dexter had to say about how it's not easy to talk about mental health issues, but it's becoming like more, like people are opening up more. I thought this had really nice alliteration in it. I like morning motions coming around unaware. If something was lost, so often surprised when it is found, done many times before, at least the countdown, not starting from a floor. You know, that to me, the countdown, not starting from a floor, has the whole idea of, to me, of making progress. And I like how he brings up things like making that checklist, you know, that idea of how, when we're in that foggy state, when our mind isn't working right, that there's those tools that we need to use. Also, great inner and end rhyme with realize as I analyze simple motions become a hard notion. I thought that was a particularly important line because it focused on the idea that when somebody's dealing with something like depression, you know, it can be very difficult to even do the simple things in life. And as far as socks go, I can definitely relate to that because I have a whole drawer of mismatched socks. So just excellent writing.
I heard the other day that, you know, all those lost socks, you know what happens to them?
What's that?
They die in the dryer.
They turn into lids for Tupperware that you don't have the containers for.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Let's have some hairy lettuce.
You think you'll never go back to Thanksgiving at your mom's if she gives you a Tupperware with an old sock on the top?
That's where I keep my drumsticks.
There you go.
All right, Gene, since you're on the sock motif, what'd you think?
I can't help myself. I'm sorry. I apologize. This is so strange because this must be like a part two to something else that we've read of Rex. Because the AN just strikes me as something I've read before. And it says, feelings are raw emotion and to come out of prose before, but is an ever-changing mind game. Is it postictal? Or how my mind and body react to coming out seizures in my sleep feels. And I know I've read that line before, and I think that it was pretty amazing that he kind of pulled that together and made it cohesive throughout. So this really worked. I realized that
I think we had something similar last Friday.
Okay, so I'm not crazy, right? It really was.
No, you're right. But there was something right in the I would everybody hit on the sort of I would hit on the kind of a petite mal seizure because right in the middle of this morning motions coming around, unaware if something was lost, so often surprised when it is found. Done many times before, at least a countdown, not starting from a floor. It had me at that sort of a petite mal. You kind of lost it in the moment, whereas a ground mal,
right.
You end up on the floor itself. So the seizure angle,
right.
And these little tidbits and hints of things in between everything else kind of hits on that notion of how the brain gets, in those moments, rewired. There's confusion. Scattered thoughts, as you offered up, the scattered mind, because everything's a blur at that point in time. And the thought images mixed like work socks in the top drawer was a clever motif for that, because it's confusing. But the angle is slowly, you kind of wake up out of the fuzz, but still, some things do not connect automatically and quickly. They're kind of still hanging out in the fog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I see that, Rick. Thank you. All right, Dean. Second down, Ken Yards. What you got?
Okay, okay. Let me see. First, I'm gonna. Okay. Welcome back, Mark. Oh Lord, have mercy. Who just read that? You just read that.
Yes.
So. Okay, now I remember what I was doing. Good Lord. Okay. Martha, I'm going to put your piece up next. Oh, not there on that. That would have been really silly. Rick would have been wondering why the hell I put that under his poem. Okay, here we go, Martha. I'm going to put your audio up, so give me a second.
My Baby Called Today by Martha Gettle. My baby called today, he said he's coming back my way. Now I'm dancing in place with a big smile on my face. When he left, he said he would be back, but he's been gone so long, and that's a fact. My heart began to drown in all the doubt, and I wondered what this love is all about. But when I heard his voice on the phone, and he told me he was coming home, all my doubts just died away as I heard what he had to say. My baby called today, he said he's coming back my way. Now I'm dancing in place with a big smile on my face. He said he missed me and I was always on his mind. He's for he loved me till the end of time. He gave me just what I was looking for, and I won't be lonely anymore. My baby called today, he said he's coming back my way. Now I'm dancing in place with a big smile on my face. Now my heart is singing a happy song. It hasn't sang since he's been gone. The words just keep repeating in my mind. When my baby told me he was mine.
Great read, Martha. Thank you very much. And Jean, you get first on this one.
Yes, I was. You didn't get me, though. I said it was nicely written, Martha. Great line.
I thought I'd give you an extra 2 seconds.
And you did a nice job with this piece, Martha. Really nicely done.
Thank you.
You know. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jean. And Dex, how about you?
Yeah, I thought that this was great. I think that if it was like, you know, an online review, you'd give them 5 stars, right? He gave me just what I was looking for, and I won't be lonely anymore. So this is a 5-star poem. Well done, Martha.
Nicely said, Dex. Thank you. And Pam?
Well, I thought this was absolutely delightful. I love the energy of this poem. I like how there's this... It feels like a brief storyline of perhaps like somebody who is maybe a trucker telling his love that he's going to be coming home. And what I like is there's that reaction of dancing in place. That is just such an enthusiastic reaction that you can just feel the love right there and the whole idea of, that it's good news. It's, you know, it's not just good news. It's the most wonderful news she's ever heard. So I really like that. My baby called today. He said he's coming back my way. Now I'm dancing in place with a big smile on my face. That is just delightful. Very well done, Martha.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Martha just gave me 2 visions before being the baby called today, say he's coming back my way. I had me thinking of somebody who'd been off at war for a long period of time, and you know you don't ever hear anything, or if you do send letters, sometimes you get back before the letters arrive, so there's that disconnect. I had that, and then it also had me with the thought of someone who's on a ship at sea for long periods of time, so you don't get to hear from them. So this fits both of those motifs, and I like that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, Jean.
Okay, dokie. Next one I'm going to put up is by Frank, Poetic Picasso. And I'm going to hit that button, and then I'm coming to you next, Pam, so don't go anywhere.
Oh, you got 3 biscuits for that.
There you go.
I was sick unto death with that long agony, and when they at length unbound me, and I was permitted to sit, I felt that my senses were leaving me, the sentence, the dread sentence of death, was the last of distinct accentuation which reached my ears. Death had never escaped my thoughts before, but I never predicted its lingering hour of arrival. For it had always been a haunted nightmare that had eluded my comprehension. Its tenebrous appearance in disguise had lurked as an unwelcome shadow within the perilous punition that had succumbed me to my condemnation. If you must know the cause of my confinement to these ancient walls, is not my brash accountability, nor my illicit patronage revoked. Instead, due to the fact of my noble lineage, an appellation bestowed, to which I was doomed, to the terrible pit and the pendulum of my despair, bound to the heavy manacles of a Stygian devil's dungeon of oppression, a miserable prisoner of the madness of the Spanish Inquisition unleashed, abandoned behind the rusty arch to the chamber of horror of my fate. I hear the obstreperous echoes of the tortured voices of screaming souls. Soon, the medieval door opens and a stranger dressed in black led me to my death. What awaited me is the carnifex of the sharp blade of the swaying pendulum, and I am struck to the solid marble table of the dripping blood amassed such that the pendulum gradually lowering by the passing minute. Trepidation sent a deep and rapid chill shivering down my fragile spine, my body being so tense in a stiff, immovable rigidity of execution. I can hear the whistling motion of the silver blade reaching my ears. I can feel then the carnivorous blade piercing my skin and flesh. My eyes bulge and increase in fear. I listen closely to the blade. No! No!
Great job, Frank. And Jackie,
I was wondering.
Back?
I was waiting for those last two lines.
I'm back. I don't know how I keep dropping. I'm sorry.
Well, that's all right. Why don't we start with you, Jack? What'd you think?
I thought that this was an incredible write, and I think that this. I've heard other pieces like this of Frank that have been some of my favorite, maybe because I'm not the female gender, but I really enjoy when he writes kind of more of the old school as far as kind of almost horror or thriller genre. The Pit of the Pendulum. I found it interesting that talking about the Spanish miserable prisoner of the madness of the Spanish Inquisition unleashed. I know that Frank in the past has talked about talked about Spain and the bulls and all of these. I just was listening to this, kind of curious as far as how much of this, how much of maybe his ancestry and his lineage played a part into, or just maybe some historic facts of his lineage played a part into this kind of chilling tale. So very well done, and very, very well on the, telling SoundCloud. I just thought that, like, as usual.
Excellent. Thank you, Dex. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I thought that was a wonderful read and a extremely well done SoundCloud. I really like how he chose, like, I think it's so important that the background noises, how he really captured the feeling of being in a dungeon. You know, and I like how, you know, he knows how to, like, pace his voice and put the emotion into the right, like, you know, like, using the use of the word trepidation sends a deep and rapid chill shivering down my fragile spine. My body begins to tense in a stiff, immovable rigidity of execution. Those lines there really capture the fear. The body's reaction to fear with the realization that death is upon you any moment. So just a wonderful, and of course, you know, you can see how it's clearly, inspired by The Pit and the Pendulum by Edgar Allan Poe. And yet there's these, like, subtle little changes in language. It has that Poe feel to it, which works well with Frank's voice. And then adding, like, subtle changes to make it his own. So very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Martha, how about you?
I thought it was really well written. It kind of just pulled you along through whether you wanted to go or not. It was quite a powerful poem and actually gave me chills.
Thank you, Martha.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I think that Frank is good at when he does a dark write based on a dark story or tale or prompt. I mean, he really does a great job with it. This one I thought would give you that same kind of eerie vibe as the original tale did, and I think that the way he read it just really pulled his right up to that that same height as the original. You know, I find that, you know, he's very lucky like that. I mean, not everyone is that lucky. You know, when you look at something, you read something, and you go, okay, I'm going to do that. He can emulate things very well. Let me put it that way. But his audios are outstanding. I have to agree with Pam. He really just does a wonderful job with them. So nice job, Frank. Thanks for sharing.
Great comments, everybody. Yeah, it does have that that nice, rich, hauntingly told tale to it. That one that makes you think and rolls with the angle of that which was as opposed to that which is. And I found that one stanza that Dex hit upon, bound in heavy manacles of a Stygian devil's dungeon of oppression, a miserable prisoner of the madness of the Spanish Inquisition, unleashed, abandoned behind the rusty latch to the chamber of horror of my fate. I hear the obstreperous echoes of the tortured voices of screaming souls. And that was a great stanza, just for what it was and what it describes, but it also drew me into History of the World, Part 1 with Mel Brooks. He did a scene on the Spanish Inquisition, and a good part of that scene I can visualize right there, the heavy manacles of the Spanish Inquisition unleashed, the rusty latch, the chamber of horror. It hits on, even though he hit it with a comical note, he brought it the full division of thought and the surroundings with the machinery encompassed in those scenes. It was really done really well. And he hit on the thought of Torquemada as well. So, and he hit on, what was it? Let's face it, you can't talk him out of anything. So that was the literality of what the Spanish and you weren't talking that guy out of anything. He had to have what he had. All right, Jane, we're back to you. Third down, six to go.
Oh, my God, I'm telling you, we just keep moving along. I have Pam's to do. And I thought that I had that set up. Apparently, I did not. Oh, I did, over here. Okay, Pam, here we go. We're going to put your piece up, and let me hit that audio. Oh, and Dex lost his seat again. We need some Velcro.
This is my recital of The Silent Road of the Hanging Tree by the poetess Pam Ray. By solemn road shown just to me, I saw the giant hanging tree. There were no stars shining bright, just the most unholy light. 'Tis here in gloom I'm left to be, the echoed cries of cruel banshees. The air is thick with smoke and slime. Risen eyes seize the crime. I drag myself through filth and mud, through wicked dreams of flowing blood. Here lonely spirits haunt and hover, mindless maws of monsters mutter. A shout that rages from my core, mercy shall be nevermore. Life is but a spilled satire, where we walk upon the wire. This long dark night brings forth dread, bones and demons in my head, offering not tranquility to this fiendish hell inside of me. shadows that bring forth such dread in the graveyard of my head. A land without tranquility succumbs to the fiendish parts of me. A fount of coins made of silver, faint murmurs of the dead man's river. Where is my shield? Where is my lamp? The spirits hover, cold and damp. Here within the realm of fools, the pipers paid with false jewels, haunting music tempos slowly by the shores of mankind's folly. Frantic footsteps rushing fast towards the fates forever cast. Ravens in the shrouded sky call forth to death's unending cry. Silent forms of corpses swaying from the sneers of voiceless cravens. In these realms of faltered reason, the psyche settles on to treason. Freakish forms that fiercely flow to the dreaded demon's dark chateau. The stone lanterns are dimly lit in the cradles of the crypt. The crumbling gates that decompose upon Mount Olympus ever closed. The reapers raise the starting bid to the sterling upon palm quid. Here broken souls of the masses pass with their unseeing glances. By solemn road shown just to me, I saw the giant hanging tree. There were no stars shining bright, just the most unholy light. 'Tis here in gloom I'm left to be, the echoed cries of cruel banshees.
Great read, Mr. M. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. And Pam, do you want to offer up a thought to the piece itself?
Well, I'll say that I don't want to comment on my own poem, but I will say that I thought Robert did a wonderful read, and I'm very thankful to him for recording that for me, because I got done and I thought, well, Robert's voice would be nicer. So it's just a parody of the Edgar Allan Poe poem, or it's supposed to be, I attempted a parody of the poem Dreamland by Edgar Allan Poe. So I really appreciate Robert, and I thought that was an excellent read.
And Jean, why don't we start with you, please?
Well, hell, Pam, this was fabulous. From beginning to end, I think you really did nail it. Whether it's a parody or what it is, wherever you got it from, go back and grab another one. Wonderful. Just wonderful line after line. Each stanza was great. Robert did a wonderful job reading it, but they complemented each other. But I think the poem is definitely an excellent, excellent piece of work. And, I'm glad that Robert recorded it for you. He did it justice. He loves poetry.
Absolutely, and thank you, Dean.
Mm-hmm. And Dexter, how about you?
Actually, Dexter dropped and did not return.
Oh, okay. And Martha, how about you?
Well, I thought it was great. I loved the imagery and the rhyme, and it was just a really great job all the way around. I thought it was really well written.
Thank you, Martha. Mm-hmm. Well, if it's, I don't know what the Dreamland is. I haven't read it, so if it offers up what Dreamland actually means, boy, is this the hanging opposite of that angle. It kind of hits on the notion of one of Dante's nine circles of hell, maybe the beginning, the first circle, because you hit on that thought of where the reapers raise the starting bid to the sterling palmed quid, the broken souls of the masses pass with their unseeing glances. I like that. Using sterling, nice touch, referring to silver, and palmed quid, also alluding to that which gets passed between people once they're being sold, something's being sold, which was nice. And this did have a nice creepy touch to it, so I don't know. I'll have to check out Dreamland to see how far off the path is. Dreams you actually went into nightmares.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Rex. It was really observant. I meant for it to have kind of that Dante's Nine Circles of Hell type feel to it. And actually, you should definitely read Dreamland, because like any other Edgar Allan Poe poem, it's really good. But it's really actually quite opposite from this poem. Like Dreamland is about that, like there's the mention of the El Dorado, and there's really, it's kind of like that idea of being in a dream that's so beautiful that you don't want to leave. It's actually one of the more uplifting Edgar Allan Poe poems written. And so what I wanted to do is try to meet the meter, but give the opposite idea of being trapped in one's own personal, not only one's own personal hell, but a hell in general. So great observation there, Rex.
All right, Dean, we're coming back up to you.
Okay, I'm going to put something fun up. Hopefully I don't think we'll run short of time, but we won't get anything else in after this. So here, well, maybe. Where is that button I need? Oh, you know, anyway, I'm putting up a piece by We Are All Gonzo. And he's been kind enough to share another one of these dramas with us, so here we go. And let me hit the button over here. And it's somewhere. Here it is.
The doors to the Crooked Creek Hay Bale Pub swung open with force, and in walked a lovely dove of a lass, carrying a sheathed sword in one hand, the other motioned for a glass.
What kind of fairy tale animal does a girl have to kiss to get a drink around here?
May I introduce myself? I'm Rumpelstiltskin, and this is Rumpelstiltskin.
It's a joke, creep. Not enough booze, not enough darkness.
She sat at the bar and scoured the crowd, hoping to find the right person, but for now, she'd settle for the right beverage, she thought. The bard, busied by blaring bellows of fellow fairy tale mellows, wallows lost of another path, until he stared at the beauty, mustering the will to ask.
Well, why are you doing that? Stop. Stop doing that.
Mm-hmm. Me?
Stop narrating what you're doing and what I'm doing.
Oh, sorry. I'm a bard. We play merry and entertain, you see.
Are you any good? After the night I've had, I could use a few songs to distract me.
Why, I'm worth my weight in gold, good lady. Gentlemen, gentlemen, over here. Over here. We have a customer. One, two, three. For one gold piece, I'll share my hair-raising tale of a girl so fair who wanted nothing overly rare. Just some one-on-one time with a special person in her life, her only friend. Instead, she was caught, found herself in the ties that bound her revenge.
Yeah, I think I heard something similar, but show me what you got, little man.
A story like no other you'll concede to me. Here's a dashing revenge of Sleeping Beauty.
Scarlet gown floated, swift flowing, wisped with each new skip, whistling herself the dandy tune while the morning sun fought the waning moon. Strolling and skipping, dense brush hid the danger, but she was always taught never to engage with a stranger.
Little girl, I need help looking for my dog made of candy.
What's your dog's name?
His name is I'm Safe. So just hold my hand and we'll walk around yelling out, I'm safe! I'm safe! You first!
Sturdily, her cane came up very quick, caught him dead center of his now blue biscuit.
Listen, creep, I got no time for your perverted ways. If I see you in my path in the future, I'll break more than yours.
Oh, yeah, threat well received. I'm a creep indeed.
The pervert strolled across the plain, throbbing with pulsating pain. Less than a threat was a promise for sure, for none understood the girl under the hood was no regular girl strolling alone in the woods. The twists and twirls of her blonde curls held inside a mind of devious design, little red riding up to no good with desires to burn and bury the world. Continuing along, she kept whistling her song while skipping to and fro. Unaware, she had dropped a couple of items from her pack during her attack against the pedo. A cookie and note had drifted down from Red's coat and lightly fell to the ground. Fingers curled round with focused intention, delighted for what they had found. Unknown to Red burned a fury far greater, the kind that stirs into a purr or a growl beyond normal nature. Violent, fantastical dreams only violence seems to cure. Someone was watching Red stroll through the woods with eyes both fierce and demure.
See you soon, Red.
Excellent, Gonzo. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is truly appreciated. All right, Pam, kick us off.
Yeah, I thought that was. I was muting, but I got off as quick as I could. And wow, as always, just an amazing performance. I love the way he does the different voice changes and the way he balances out the drama and the dark humor. And wonderful use of dialogue without it being overdone. And I really like that, you know, a story like no other you'll concede to me. Here, the dashing revenge of Sleeping Beauty. I like that he turns a tale on its head. The pervert strolled across the plain, throbbing with pulsing pain, less than a threat. Was a promise for sure, for none understood the girl under the hood was no regular girl strolling alone in the woods. The twists and twirls were blonde curls held inside a mind of devious design. I like that we suddenly realize that there's so much more underneath Sleeping Beauty's curls than we could have ever imagined. And I'm definitely looking forward to part two. This was quite a performance, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Martha, how about you?
I thought it was great. I really liked the storyline and the way it just pulled you along. I thought it was really well done. I can't wait to read part two.
Absolutely. All right, Gene. This is the first installment of something new. What do you think?
Absolutely. I think that this is just an exceptional job. When you get all these different voices coming at you telling this story, I mean, you see just how talented the work is. It's not, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how he does it, but he does it. And he puts it all together very well. A very talented job and excellent job. Excellent. Yeah, keep saying job. It was a great job. Excellent job. Wonderful job. There you go. I think I got it on the system now.
Oh, this was. And there's some bite in this. Plus some humor. What kind of fairy tale animal does a girl have to kiss to get a drink around here? May I introduce myself? I'm Rumpelstiltskin, and this is Rumpel 4. Slap. It's Joke Creek. Not enough booze. Not enough darkness. And then the one with little red down the bottom with dead center, his blue biscuit. Nice touches of humor roll into this, especially with the storyline he's rolling on. And I'd like to know, can't wait to find out what, because he hits on the thought of Red as being a something very devious in design. So what is going to crop up? Couple of episodes that rolls within this one. Nicely done, Don. So thank you very much. All right, Gene.
Absolutely.
It is now on the back end of things. It is fourth down, and you have to kick for the extra point to win the game.
Absolutely. I want to thank everyone who called in tonight. Martha, Pam, Rex, everybody. And Rex, thanks for co-hosting with me. You're getting good at it. Poor guy. I think that the poetry tonight was wonderful. We have about 6 pieces to carry over for next Friday. I would tell you what they are, but I don't think I'm privy to that information just yet. But, you know, it was wonderful. It was great poetry from beginning of the night to the end, great company. And, yeah, so it was a wonderful night, and I want to thank everyone who helped it happen or made it happen, however I want to say that. It was a good job, great job, and a wonderful job. See? Just saying. Oh, my God. But anyway, I hope everyone has a wonderful week next week and a great weekend. And you all take care of yourselves. And Rex, did you have anything you wanted to say? Oh, we have Parts Center Blessing coming up at 12:30. I almost forgot.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yes. Okay. So,
yeah, I'm good to go. And
thanks, everybody.
That's the end of this one, I guess.
Rex.
Good night.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, Rex. Take care.
Good night.